If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to First Strike. First look here on a Tuesday as we get ready for Saturday night's main event between Thiago Santos and Jamahal Hill. Should be a pretty good card overall. Here to help me break it down on a Tuesday is Jordan Sherwood out of Chicago. You can follow him at Woodon1063 on Twitter as I do, and also the host of the unnamed MMA podcast. Jordan, great to catch up with you on a Tuesday. And I love this exercise that we try to do on First Strike, First Look, of trying to be anticipatory of where the lines might go before we get to Saturday. When you look at the main event and you see that Thiago Santos here, a solid over $2 underdog against Jamahal Hill minus 265, as we see at DraftKings here on a Tuesday, which way would you anticipate this line moving?
I think more and more money is going to flow in on Jamahal Hill. I mean, he really has come on as this flashy knockout artist, gets his opponents out quickly, and he's continuing to jump up the ranks of the light heavyweight division. Certainly that knockout he had his last time out against Johnny Walker is going to be viral this week because it was a fantastic knockout for Hill. And you couple that with what we've seen out of Thiago Santos really since 2019, when, yes, he did go five rounds with John Jones. He was the only guy to win an actual scorecard against John Jones. But since that point, and he tore every single CL mm-hmm. that you have literally in the body, he has not been the same fighter. And he has been 100% a fade every time out, albeit he did have a win against that, you know, previously mentioned Johnny Walker. So I got to believe more and more money is going to flow in on Jamahal Hill, and Jamahal Hill likely to, I think the public money is going to come in on Jamahal Hill to come via a finish because he's been doing it so brilliantly and so frequently the last four or five times we've seen him in the octagon.
It's fascinating because you're right about Santos. He has not looked the same since the John Jones fight, which was a great fight. You could argue that he won the fight, even though he didn't get the decision by the judges that night. So again, right now, plus 225 on Santos with a big sledgehammer on his chest, always an intimidating sight. If you think he can last in this potential five-round matchup, the over right now, you get some good plus money here, plus $1.30. The under 2.5 rounds is minus $1.60. You mentioned Hill lately with the proclivity to get things done early. Is there a correlation play there that if you like Hill, you play the under as well?
Yeah, I think you will, just because, like, we don't know of Jamahal Hill's ability to, like, maybe rely back on his wrestling. I think there is something to what your point, though, Dave, about this fight potentially going over, because we've seen Thiago Santos just not have that explosiveness anymore. So he's been extremely tentative the last couple of times out. We talked about it actually last week when we were handicapping Magomed Ankalaev and talking about that snooze fest of a five-round fight that he had against Thiago Santos. Just Thiago Santos isn't the same fighter. But I just think at some point, you mentioned the hammer, like the hammer's going to come out. The hammer's going to realize, like, the only way I'm going to actually win fights is to kill or be killed. So I think this could be the point where we see Thiago Santos understanding, like, look, I'm going to have to live by the sword and die by the sword and try and get Jamahal Hill out of there extremely quickly, fully well knowing that Jamahal Hill probably can't rely on wrestling to get this fight into the later rounds. But I certainly believe, yeah, if you're on Jamahal Hill's side, you're also believing it's going to end rather quickly and you're going to take the under as well.
Yeah, you mentioned they're going to be showing that knockout of Johnny Walker. I call it a Bugs Bunny knockout, but certainly it was not fun for Johnny Walker that night. And that one got done very quickly inside of the first round. You look at the co-main event here, Jordan, and Vicente Luque back on this card against Jeff Neal. This is a very intriguing matchup here. Luque right now, a solid favorite at minus $1.80, plus for Neal on the comeback is plus $1.65. How do you look at this big-time matchup playing out?
Yeah, tough matchup for Jeff Neal if you're looking to back him. I mean, look, he was the flashy thing in the welterweight division, 13-2 with that impressive finish of Mike Perry. But since then, he had some off the field issues. He had a DUI arrest, 1-2 since then, and a pretty lackluster performance the last time we saw him against Santiago Ponzinibbio. And Santiago Ponzinibbio certainly isn't the same fighter. This is a perfect matchup for Vicente Luque, a guy that Vicente Luque can trade shots with, utilize his Muay Thai, his outstanding stand-up. And from what we've seen, like, not going to threaten Neal, that being Neal threatened Luque with some grappling exchanges, some wrestling, which has plagued Luque in the past. So I think this is a perfect matchup. I love Vicente Luque early in the week on the money line, $1.75, because I just think stylistically it's going to be a firefight, and we know what Vicente Luque can do. The interesting thing is that at some point, do you believe the wheels fall off of Luque and his ability to finish fights? Because obviously we know Luque is a finishing machine.
And Jordan, that's a great way to segue to the total here, because the over right now, 2.5 rounds, remember, potentially a 3-round matchup here, is plus $1. The under 2.5 right now is where the money's been coming in at minus $1.30. So finishing capabilities, but you're right about Luque. Does he still have that finishing capacity or to be finished if you think Neal can get it done in quick order? Which way would you lean right now on a Tuesday?
Yeah, I would lean that we're going to see vintage Vicente Luque. I mean, you're talking about a guy, again, you know, 21 wins, 19 of them have come inside the distance, a healthy split between submissions and knockouts. And I think, again, a stylistic matchup where Jeff Neal, at least to this point, to my belief, is not going to grind out Vicente Luque. Look to take him to the ground. He's going to stand there and trade with him. And again, that I think inside the distance for sure, Vicente Luque. So the under at 2.5 would be an early play this week for me.
You know, Jordan, you're right there in the great city of Chicago, and Terrence McKinney is also on this card, and we saw his last fight against Drew Dober. If everybody just saw what Drew Dober did this past week, looking as impressive as he did, well, Terrence McKinney almost got him out of there in short order, and then Drew Dober was able to withstand that early barrage by McKinney and then get the TKO stoppage himself in that first round. Now McKinney against Eric Gonzalez is almost a $9 betting favorite. It's almost like the handicappers, at least, and sitting around the bookmakers, are not counting off for that loss to Drew Dober. Do you think we see an even better version of Terrence McKinney from Chicago come Saturday night?
I mean, look, Dave, you know, we've been watching this sport for a long time. I mean, fighters learn from their losses. And certainly Terrence McKinney had a great opportunity to take a fight on a very short notice against a top-tier talent in the lightweight division and nearly had Drew Dober out of there. But I think, yeah, I mean, until we see Terrence McKinney really get into a firefight and really get tested and get it out of that first round, you got to believe, and against a guy in Eric Gonzalez that we know little to nothing about, is going to get another fantastic finish. However, because there's so little that you know, and because Terrence McKinney looks for that quick finish right away, sometimes, especially at this price, it's not worth a look. It's not even worth putting into a parlay to help out that price. So probably, yeah, you do play an under at 1.5 because – I mean, that's what Terrence McKinney does. He either kill or be killed in that first round. But outside of that, there's nothing at that price, and it's not going to come down enough for you to even warrant Terrence McKinney, straight up on a money line.
And that's sage advice, and that's why we try to give it out to you here on First Strike, First Look. I look up and down the card. You see Augusto Sakai is back on this card. Smiling Sam Alvey is here. And I think for maybe my money, Jordan, the Queen of Violence might be the best nickname in all of MMA with Ariana Lipsky back on this card as well. Is there another fight out there that really has caught your attention here on a Tuesday?
Well, I mean, certainly Ariana Lipsky, the Queen of Violence, I think she's going to be able to kind of out-muscle and land more power shots against Koshera. I don't think that Koshera is going to have enough in the ground game to threaten Lipsky. It's a virtual pick'em right now. Obviously, you know, there's a little bit of a risk with flyweights. The other one that I immediately made a play on, the under in the Whit Quinlan fight, A lot of people are high on Josh Quinlan coming into his UFC debut now after an impressive showing on the Contender Series. Jason Witt's a guy that's been finished, has a shaky chin. So I think the under at 1.5 early on this week is a play that I would recommend in the Witt-Quinlan fight.
All right. Great advice on a Tuesday here, Jordan. Before I let you go here, the Unnamed MMA podcast, tell the people what you get. And I know that you had some big time names before the two title fights that we saw last week.
Yeah, certainly. We talked to Juliana Pena. I mean, she seemed ready. We try and go Chicago theme, give out our fight picks. We'll have them for you this week, of course. And then I think I mentioned it last week talking to you. We're hoping to chat with Bilal Muhammad before his big UFC 280 fight coming up in a couple of weeks against Sean Brady.
I'll tell you what, man, Juliana Pena might not be the champ anymore at 135 pounds, but for a fight that looked like she was being dominated for five rounds, she was so close to retaining that belt numerous times. It was one of the most competitive fights for somebody who might have lost all five rounds.
Yeah, no, certainly she was in the mix at some point threatening with those submissions. But I'll ask you, what are you handicapping? You trilogy with Pena or trilogy with Shevchenko next for Amanda Nunes?
Oh, Jordan, you're throwing it back at me. I think we're going to see the trilogy with Pena at 135 if Shevchenko wants to come up to 35 again. I'd love to see that matchup again, but it's so odd because it feels like Valentina Shevchenko is comfortable at 125. And I don't know that she has the impetus to go up and say, all right, yeah, I want that challenge of Nunes again. I hope that she does go up because I'd love to see it one more time, but I'm going to book it right now. Juliana Pena in a trilogy minus $1.30 before we see a trilogy fight with Valentina Shevchenko. What do you think of that number?
I'm agreeing with you. I like those odds. I think co-main event probably would be Shevchenko Santos too, because I think Talia Santos certainly deserves another crack at Valentina before Shevchenko thinks about going up in weight.
No doubt about it. And by the way, Chris Cyborg also called out Amanda Nunes in a rematch at 145.
Of course he did.
There's so many ways to go now from 125 up to 145. Hey, Jordan, really appreciate the time here. First Strike, First Hook on a Tuesday. Have a great rest of the week.
All right, you too. Talk to you soon, Dave.
There he is, Jordan Sherwood, everybody. Follow him as I do at Woodon 1063. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here Friday for First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.